Right. Ever wonder how they make those crazy, complicated plastic parts? You know, like think about your phone case or like a Lego brick. All those tiny little holes and curves.
Yeah, it's pretty wild when you stop and think about it.
So that's what we're diving into today, the magic behind it, Alwyn. It's called coring in injection molding.
And I guess it sounds a little bit like, what you do to an apple, right?
You know, graph, huh?
Yeah, exactly.
But coring in the world of plastics is way cooler than it sounds, trust me. We're talking about actually shaping the mold itself, not just the plastic.
Okay, so I was looking through some of the research for this and saw examples like inner holes and like concave shapes on the sides of things. It's like there's this whole hidden world of sculpting going on inside the mold.
Exactly, you get it. It's about removing parts of the mold after the plastic's all hard, and boom, you reveal these intricate little details.
Okay, that's pretty neat. And it's not just for looks either. This is key for using less plastic, making things faster, and making them better quality too. So, like, by the end of this deep dive, you'll be dropping all this knowledge on your friends. They'll be so impressed.
Challenge accepted. All right, so break it down for me. How does this core pulling actually work? I get that you inject like molten plastic into the mold, but what happens next?
Okay, so picture this. The mold opens up slowly. Like, imagine a stage curtain, right? And there's your newly formed plastic part. But here's the cool part. There are these moving pieces inside the mold. They're called sliders. And they pull out these cores, which are basically like the negative space of all those fancy designs.
Okay, starting to get the picture here. But I also saw something about inclined guide pillars. What's the deal with inclined? Why not just use straight pillars?
Good question. That's where the real cleverness comes in. So imagine those pillars, like the suspension on a race car, super finely tuned. The incline makes sure that the sliders are moving exactly the right way at just the right speed when the mold opens up.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah, it's all about that angle. It keeps everything smooth, even with all that pressure.
Wow, so it's like a choreographed dance going on inside the mold. Each part has its own little job, and the timing has to be perfect.
Precisely. You nailed it. There are three main stages, basically. You've got injection, then the mold opens, and finally, the part pops out, what we call demolding. First, that hot plastic flows around the core, filling up the mold. Then, bam, the mold opens up, those guide pillars do their thing, pulling out the core with the sliders. And finally, out comes your part with all those little details that were hidden inside the mold.
It's like this whole secret world of mechanics, and it's all got to work together perfectly.
Exactly.
But I got to ask, is there only one way to do this whole core pulling thing?
Actually, there are three main methods. They all have pros and cons, You got manual, motorized, and then hydraulic.
Okay, interesting. So it's not a one-size-fits-all kind of thing. I bet choosing the right method is a big decision for the people making these parts.
Absolutely. You got to think about it, right? Let's say you're a small business making custom keychains, something like that. You might just go manual. It's simple and doesn't break the bank, perfect for smaller batches. But imagine you're cranking out thousands of complex medical parts every day. Then you need the big guns, hydraulic core pulling. It's all about that precision and power.
Makes sense. So it's like choosing the right tool for the job. You wouldn't build a skyscraper with a hammer, right?
Exactly. And it goes beyond just size and complexity. Motorized core pulling is like the workhorse, good for mid-range production. Think about all those gadgets and consumer products we use every day. It gives you a good balance of automation and efficiency when you're making a lot of stuff, and consistency is key.
It's so cool how each method has its own little sweet spot. I'm looking at this table here, comparing them. Definitely some trade-offs. Manual is easy to set up, but you're limited on how big the parts can be. Hydraulic is the most precise, but costs a lot more. So manufacturers really have to weigh their options carefully.
Oh, for sure. And choosing the right method, that's only the first step. We got to talk about how to design the mechanism itself. That's how you make sure it's going to work reliably and give you good quality.
Right, because it's not just about yanking something out of a mold. There's got to be a lot of engineering that goes into making sure this happens smoothly every single time.
You got it. Think of it like a really intricate watch. Every tiny gear, every little spring has to be perfect, working together in harmony.
Yeah, I was reading that even a teeny tiny misalignment can cause huge problems. Crazy how those little details can make such a big difference.
Absolutely. We're talking incredibly tight tolerances between the slider and all the other parts. Even the tiniest mistake can cause a jam or mess up the final part. That's where the engineers who design the mold, they really earn their keep.
It's like they're crafting these tiny masterpieces, down to the smallest detail.
You could say that.
And speaking of masterpieces, something else caught my eye in the research, the importance of maintenance. It sounds like keeping things lubed up and replacing worn-out parts is key to keeping everything running smoothly.
Oh, that's a great point. It's like taking care of your car, right?
Mm-hmm.
Regular maintenance means no breakdowns, and it runs like a dream for a long time. Same thing with core pulling. It's all about consistent quality and avoiding costly downtime.
So you can't just set it and forget it. It takes ongoing care and attention to detail, like a skilled craft. Clearly, there's a lot more to this than meets the eye.
You said it. We might take all those plastic parts for granted, but there's a whole world of engineering and design behind each one. You know, going through all this research, something really stood out to me. It's like core pulling isn't just this one little technique. It's connected to the whole injection molding process. Like every step's got to be in sync.
That makes sense. It is easy to get caught up in the specifics, but yeah, it's all part of a bigger picture. So how does it all fit together?
Well, remember those three stages we talked about? Injection, the mold opening, and then getting the part out. Well, core pulling, it's woven into all of them. Like during injection, that molten plastic, it has to flow perfectly around the core.
Oh, I get it.
If the core is not designed right or even positioned wrong, it's like throwing a rock in a stream. You mess up the flow and then you get all these defects.
So it's got to be like a silent partner guiding the flow instead of getting in the way. Crazy how something we never even see is so important.
Exactly. And then when the mold opens up, the timing of pulling that core out is everything. It's going to happen at the exact right moment, working with the mold itself. Even a tiny bit off, and you could damage the part or even the mold, which would be a huge headache.
Yeah, no kidding. Like a super high stakes ballet. Everything's perfectly timed. So precision is key through the whole process. We've talked about the risks, though, so let's switch gears a bit. What makes core pulling so valuable? What are the upsides?
Oh, tons of upsides. The biggest one, it lets us make parts with all those crazy internal and external features. You know, threaded holes, undercuts, channels hidden inside. Imagine trying to make that without core pulling.
Right, be like trying to sculpt a statue with, like, a cookie cutter.
Yeah.
Not gonna happen. So core pulling is the secret weapon for adding all those details and making things work the way they should.
Exactly. And beyond just fancy features, think about how efficient it is. Core pulling can cut down on all those extra steps you'd need to make a part. Instead of multiple molds or doing stuff after it's molded, you do it all at once. Cheaper, faster, everyone's happy.
Right. It streamlines the whole thing, which is good for everyone, right?
Yeah.
Better quality, faster production, and maybe even lower costs.
You got it. And there's another big plus that's more important than ever these days, using less material. By using cores the right way, you can use less plastic to make the same part.
Now that's what I call a win-win. Less waste, lower cost, and helps the environment.
For sure. There are studies showing smart core pulling can cut plastic use by like 20%. That's a big deal for both the bottom line and the planet. As we're all trying to be more sustainable, techniques like this are going to be huge.
Amazing how something that seems so small can make such a difference on all these different levels. Okay, so we've got the what and how of core pulling, but I'm curious about the who now. Who's coming up with all this?
Mm.
Are there like standard core shapes or is it all custom?
It's kind of both, actually. You have some basic shapes that everyone uses, like for making simple holes or threads. But a lot of times, especially for the really complex stuff, you got to design the cores from scratch for that specific part.
So it's like having a toolbox, but you can also make your own specialized tools when you need to.
Exactly. And designing that core, it's a mix of art and science. Engineers have to think about the material, the shape, how it attaches to the mechanism that pulls it out. It's all about balance, form, and function.
Sounds like a lot of trial and error to get it just right.
Oh, definitely. But the good news is we've learned a lot over time about how it all works. And now we have these super fancy computer programs that can basically simulate the whole process. Helps a lot with getting the design right.
So it's not just guesswork anymore. There's real science behind it now. That's good to hear. But speaking of challenges, we've mentioned the risk of things going wrong during production. What are some other hurdles that manufacturers run into with core pulling?
One of the biggest is keeping the quality consistent. You know, core pulling has all these moving parts, and any little change in the process can make the final product inconsistent. It's not enough to just get it right once. It's got to be perfect every single time.
Yeah, I could see that. If you've got a whole batch of bad parts, that could mean delays, recalls, all sorts of headaches.
Exactly. That's where automation comes in. You take out the human error, and every cycle's the same, super precise. But even with all that automation, you still need people who know what they're doing to keep an eye on things, make adjustments, that kind of thing.
So it's humans and technology working together, not just replacing one with the other.
Right. And then, of course, there's the money part. Core pulling can get expensive. The molds themselves cost more. You need special equipment and people who know how to use it.
Yeah, there's always a trade-off, right? You get all these benefits, but it comes with a price tag. Manufacturers have to weigh those factors carefully.
Absolutely. It's all about balance. Cost, quality, efficiency. Sometimes the simple way is better. Other times, core pulling is the only way to get what you need.
Definitely sounds like a complex decision. So for anyone out there thinking about using core pulling, what advice would you give them?
Do your research. Make sure you really understand how it all works, know what could go wrong, what's going to cost, and talk to experts. Don't be afraid to try things out and see what works best for now. The world of injection molding is always changing, and core pulling is a big part of that.
Like any new tool, you got to learn to use it right to get the most out of it.
Exactly. And with the right approach, core pulling can unlock all sorts of possibilities for making cool, high-quality products.
Well, this has been super eye-opening. Never thought about plastic parts this way before.
That's the best part, right? Seeing all the cleverness behind everyday things.
For sure. So to wrap up part two of our deep dive, what's the most important takeaway for our listeners?
Remember, core pulling, it's both essential and complicated. It takes planning, precision, and knowing how it all works.
Yeah.
But when you do it right, you can make things that would be impossible otherwise. It's really pushing the limits of what we can do with injection molding.
It's all about human creativity, right?
Yeah.
And our desire to make things better, more efficient, more useful.
Couldn't have said it better. And on that note, that's a wrap for part two. Join us next time when we'll move from theory to the real world, looking at cool examples of how core pulling's shaping the things we use every day.
Welcome back to the Deep Dive. We've been on this like deep dive into the world of core pulling, but now it's time to, you know, step out of the factory and see how it all plays out in the real world.
Yeah, exactly. We've covered all the nuts and bolts, the good, the bad, but now let's get to the fun part. Seeing core pulling in action, making the things we see and use every day.
I love those moments where you like suddenly realize how something's made.
Yeah.
Especially those everyday things you never really thought about before.
Well, get ready for some serious aha moments because we're about to uncover the secrets of core pulling hiding right under our noses. And let's start with something almost everyone's played with, Lego bricks.
Legos. No way, really. I never would have guessed. What part of a Lego is made using core pulling?
Those little studs on top, the ones that connect the bricks together. You know, those iconic little bumps? Yep, those are all thanks to core pulling.
Really?
Yeah. The core is shaped like it's like a reverse image of the stud. So when they pull it out, what's left is that perfect little hollow cylinder.
Wow, that's so cool. It's such a simple idea, but so clever. And it's not just about looks either. Those studs are like what make Legos Legos, right? How they all click together and hold.
Exactly. It's form and function working together perfectly. And it all starts with that little bit of core pulling magic inside the mold. But Legos, that's just the tip of the iceberg. Think about bottle caps, those threads that let you screw the cap on. Core pulling again.
Oh, wow. So the core is basically shaped like a spiral.
Yeah.
And that creates those threads as it comes out.
Right on. It's a tiny detail, but it's what makes the cap work. And it's not just toys and stuff around the house either. Core pulling, it's used in some pretty high-tech stuff too.
Okay, now I'm really curious. Give me some examples. Where else is core pulling hiding in plain sight?
Okay, think about cars. Like under the hood, the engine's got all these intricate channels for oil, coolant, all those fluids.
Right.
A lot of those passages are made with core pulling, so you get those smooth, consistent pathways. Super important for making sure everything runs right.
So it's not just the shape of the part. It's about making those channels inside it, too.
Yeah.
That's wild.
It is. And you see the same thing in airplanes. Like those parts that got to be lightweight but super strong, lots of them have these hollow spaces inside for wires or fuel lines. Core pulling again. And don't even get me started on medical stuff. They use it to make all sorts of intricate instruments and implants, stuff with really complex shapes on the inside.
Wow, it's amazing to think about. This one process used in so many different ways, from a kid's toy to like a life-saving medical device, seems like there's no limit to what you can do with it.
I know, right? And as we come up with new materials, new ways of molding things, I think we'll only see more and more uses for core pulling. It's all about pushing the limits of what's possible.
It's exciting to think about what the future holds. This whole deep dive has seriously changed how I see the world. Never realized how much goes into making even the simplest plastic things.
It's pretty amazing, isn't it? It's easy to take it all for granted, but behind every little plastic thing, there's a whole team of people who figured out how to make it.
Well said. So as we wrap up our deep dive into core pulling, What's the one thing you want our listeners to take away from all this?
I think the biggest thing is core pulling, it's kind of a hidden hero. Most people don't even realize it's there, but it's making our lives better in so many ways. From the toys we play with as kids to the technology that keeps us connected, core pulling is silently shaping the world.
It's a good reminder that so much goes on behind the scenes, so much cleverness we never even notice. So next time you pick up something plastic, take a second to think about how it got there. Remember that whole world of core pulling that made it possible? Thanks for joining us on The Deep Dive. Keep exploring and keep asking those questions.